Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In recent broadcasts, we've talked about good moms, and we've talked about good dads, so it's only fitting now that we ought to talk about good kids. Good kids are children who do what the Bible says. Now, we know that the proportion of children who believe and obey the Bible today is much smaller than the proportion of kids who don't. So it's becoming less and less likely with each successive generation that kids are going to grow up to be good Christians and good citizens. Nevertheless, there are still some children who are good kids, and so we need to talk about the characteristic of good kids. We need to see some things, at least, that the Bible says about them. And the first thing we notice from the Bible is that good kids are obedient. They are obedient. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So good kids are obedient. They're children who, simply stated, do what their mother and father tell them to do, and who honor their parents. Now, when I think about honoring parents and I think about obedience, I'm reminded of quail hunting. I think I've used this illustration recently, but dogs that are pointing, that are working together in a pair in a quail hunt, if one dog smells the birds and points, the other dog doesn't run up to see if it can also smell the birds and point, because that dog is liable to flush the covey. So what that dog does is it notices that the other dog has found the birds and is on point. And listen, the second dog honors the point, or honors the first dog. In other words, the pointer points in honor to the first dog to let the hunters know, hey, there are birds in the vicinity, even though he can't smell them. All right, children obey their parents. They do what their mother and father tell them to do when they're at home, and when they're away, they honor their parents. They still do what mom and dad have told them to do, even though mom and dad aren't there to witness what they're doing and aren't there to enforce the command if the children are disobeying. They're honoring mother and father. Now, you know something? It is never hard to obey good parents. It's not. You won't always be able to do what you want to do, because when you have to obey mom and dad, they're making you do what they want you to do. But you know something? It's not hard to obey good parents, because they want the best for you. And the commands are not onerous. And their orders, you know what they do? They cut out a lot of foolishness in your life. I mean, when you have good parents and you obey them, you'll never have to worry about being in trouble. And according to Lamentations chapter 3, that's the book, the small book right after Jeremiah, according to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, children can be given chores and they can be trusted to carry out their chores. Lamentations 3:27 says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, we live in a spoiled society, in a high-tech society. Kids just sit around on the sofa, and the hardest work they do is to push the buttons on the remote control to change channels on television, and work their thumbs on an iPhone or an iPad or something in order to text their friends and post Facebook. That doesn't make kids that are inclined to be responsible. So I think kids ought to be given something to do. They ought to be given chores. They ought to be given responsibility. They ought to have to share part of the load. It's good for them. And they learn to obey. Now listen very carefully. If you have a child who is stubborn and rebellious, listen, you will have very little effect on that child until he is willing to obey and to submit to your authority. That's right. If your child is stubborn and rebellious, there are things that you can do to try to rein them in and bring them into obedience. But if they maintain their stubbornness and they maintain their rebellion, you're going to have very little effect on him until he's willing to obey and to submit to your authority. Now, in the meantime, when you're dealing with a child like that, you must be in control of yourself. You can't be manipulated by his or her bad behavior. You must be in control of yourself. You must be consistent and stable in all of your interactions with him. If you're inconsistent, one day you're friendly, kind, loving, giving, spoiling, and the next day you're an ogre, punishing, you know, threatening, and all those other things. You know what's happened? You're not in control of yourself. You're inconsistent. You're not stable, and you are now in a match with a child that is no good for either one of you. You've got to be consistent, and you must be stable in your interactions with him. And listen, this is so important. People forget this. You must be faithful to the Lord. That's right. You've got to continue to read your Bible every day. You've got to continue to pray. You need to continue to be in church and faithfully, regardless of what your child chooses to do. That's right. Now, good kids are obedient. You'll know whether you got a good one or not because of whether they obey or not. The second characteristic that we see of good children, good kids, they are reprovable. They're reprovable. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. That is, not only will they obey, but you know, kids are going to get out of line, and when they get out of line, they've got to be able to take correction. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Watch it, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." A good child will take reproof, because the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I think it's always funny when these kids grow up in a home and constantly in an argument with parents. They get to be 18 years old and they're rebellious and they say, "I'm going to go join the military." As if in the military they're going to let me do what I want to do. No, they're going to reprove you every morning, every noon, every night, all day long. You're going to be taking orders. Now, kids who hate instruction and despise reproof, you know what? They have a hard time in childhood. And they often grow up to be incorrigible adults. Not always, but often. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, describe a fellow who, you know, just about messed up bad enough to mess himself up forever. And he says in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me." You see that? That's a person right there that wouldn't take reproof. And oftentimes, a child that won't take reproof grows up to be an incorrigible adult. You can't correct him. You got your hands full of him. Now, it's not always the case. Children are foolish, and they finally have to go and pay their own bills and get a job. And the next thing you know, a lot of them straighten up. Okay? But not all of them. And the problem is they didn't learn to take a reproof. Why? Because reproof is not always easy to take. It's hard to take because you got to admit you were wrong and you got to make a change. But you know something? Children who can take reproof learn. And they learn because they recognize that reproof is good for them. That's right. And it may be embarrassing to admit you made a mistake, that you got to make a change, that you've got to make retribution for something that you did. But it's good for you. The more that you feel as a child, the more that you feel the effect of the reproof, the more inclined you are not to walk that way again, to make a change so that you don't have to experience the same problem again. Now, as children mature, and these are children who can take a reproof, you know what? You can reprove them, and they're only going to get better. In other words, once you know a child is teachable, once you know a child is correctable, then you can continue to do so as they mature, and they're just going to get better and better and better. Now, in the ministry, we love to see young men, young ladies, desire to do the will of God in their lives. We love that. We love to be able to train them in the Bible and help them to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them make it, and some of them don't make it. Some of them are really cut out for full-time ministry, and some of them aren't. We say of men who will make it in the ministry, listen, they are teachable. Or we say they have a teachable spirit. And may I tell you something? That's a good thing, because it means they can take a reproof. We were talking to a missionary friend of ours who has seen a lot of missionaries come to his field and go. And we asked him one time, why do they leave? And he said, it's very simple. I'll give you three things. And number one, they never leave America. In other words, they come to a foreign country, but they want to be Americans in the foreign country. And that's virtually impossible to do. You can do it to a certain extent in your own home with your own children, but outside of that, very, very difficult. Number two, they won't learn the language. And number three, and this was so important, they aren't teachable. They aren't teachable. When I say learn the language, they won't learn the culture. The culture and the language and all that's mixed in with that. And then this third thing, they are not teachable. And you know what that means? They can't be corrected. They can't take a reproof. And you know when that started? It started in their childhood. But a good kid is reprovable. A good kid is obedient. He's reprovable. And I'll tell you something else. And this is really shocking, I say. But it's so true if you think about it. Good kids are godly. Good kids are godly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we quoted this recently when we were talking about good moms. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, good kids are godly. In other words, a good child should get saved at a young age, and when they get saved at a young age, they are then to grow in their own spirituality. I mean, a good kid will read his own Bible. And he'll pray for himself. You get the idea that somehow or another kids, you know, we should entertain them all the way through until they are young adults, and then expect them to go out and stand on their own faith. They don't have any faith. They've never been asked to do it. They've been entertained in vacation Bible school. They've been entertained in Sunday school. And now they're supposed to stand on their own. And they can't, because they don't even know. They can't even find the books of the Bible. So the thing to do when you've got a good child is keep that child in church and really go through the Bible with them when they're young. And when it's obvious that it's time to get saved, they need to get saved. I received a missionary letter just the other day, and a man and his wife are going to a mission field. And both of them were saved when they were 4 years old. I realize that's very young, but not impossible. Bob Jones Sr., very, very well-known former minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was saved when he was 5 years old. That could be very well be too young for your child, but when your child knows and gets saved, then you know what? You ought to expect that child to start growing spiritually by reading the Bible and praying for himself or herself. Jesus Christ knew enough of the words of God when he was 12 years old to astonish others with his understanding and answers. I mean, if you read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, when you get to Luke chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, you find that Jesus Christ was left behind after one of the feasts, and his mother and Joseph came back looking for him, and he was there with the doctors. And he was asking them questions, and he was conversing with them, and the people were astonished, really, at his understanding and at his answers. He was 12 years old. You say, well, yeah, but he was God manifest in the flesh. He was 12 years old. He was the son of a carpenter. Do you get it? He was spending time with the Lord. He was developing in his own spirituality. Now, children should respond to Bible preaching. They should respond to Bible teaching. And when they do, good children develop good spiritual character, good spiritual attributes, good moral character. You should be able to find in good children honesty, integrity, trustworthiness, charity, compassion, and all those other kinds of things. You say, but they're very young. They are, but when they're so young, they are so easy to train. So you should expect from a child to start developing a good a moral character, good spiritual attributes. Don't think that you have to wait until they're much older. I mean, really and truly, we sometimes have the idea that children are too young to be responsible, but I don't think the Lord thinks so. In 2 Kings chapter 2, after Elisha has received a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He is coming back from Jordan. And there are some little children who come out and mock Elisha. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head, they say. And they're little children. And Elisha turned around and cursed them. And they were attacked by two she-bears. And those two she-bears ripped up or tore 42 children. You say, wow. Yeah, but that's because to Elisha, they should have known better than to mock the man of God. And you understand, Elisha, God with Elisha, expected little children to have more spirituality than that. And we should expect of our children to have more spirituality than that. Good kids are obedient. Good kids are reprovable. Good kids are godly. I hope there are some children that hear this message and begin to understand what's expected of them, to obey mom and dad, to learn by reproof, to take responsibility for their own chores and for their own spiritual life, to read the Bible and pray and develop their own faith. And then I'll say this, good kids are wise. Proverbs chapter 13, very, 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 very great passage of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Good kids are wise. Now, kids don't start out wise. You have to remember that you may have a good child, but there is foolishness bound in the heart of your child. All children come equipped with foolishness. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So you got to understand that when you see that foolishness, it's in there. They come equipped with it. They're born with it. So they don't start out wise. But as you bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, following what the Bible says, applying the rod as the Bible says, you know what happens? That foolishness should be driven far from them. And when it is, a good kid will make wise choices and will choose wise friends. Why? Because when children run with fools, they act like fools. And I've got young friends that are in their 20s, young acquaintances anyway, I guess I should say. And every time they get in trouble, they get punished. And every time, you say in their 20s, yeah, some of them go to jail and things like that. And they get out, and you know what they do? They pick up with the same stupid crowd they were running with when they got locked up the last time. And what's the problem? You say, it's the friends. Well, actually, it's the choice of friends. They keep choosing to run with fools. And they end up with the consequences of foolishness. Good kids are wise. They figure out if they get in trouble with the wrong crowd the first time, you know, and they have to take the reproof and take the instruction and take the correction. They come back and they say, I'm not running with that crowd anymore, because it never turns out well. And they choose wise companions. All right, so we could go on. You're getting the idea. Good kids are obedient. And you ought to, as best as you can, try to make them obey. They're reprovable. You ought to get on to them and change and help them to learn that by instruction, reproof, rebuke, and correction, they get better. They're godly because they're responsible for their own spirituality, and they're wise because once they learn, they make good choices and wise choices. Now, let me conclude this lesson with something I think is very important, because we could go on and list, you know, a bunch more characteristics of good kids. You're getting the idea here. There certainly are other characteristics of good kids, but these ones we've talked about today are the principal ones. Now listen, be very careful. I'm going to say it again. Be very careful about beating yourself up if your child doesn't turn out to be a good kid. Let me say it again. Be very careful about beating yourself up if your child doesn't turn out to be a good kid. They don't all turn out to be good kids, and less of them, I think, will turn out to be good kids today, because there's more foolishness than there was. We're in this highly technological society where they have access to so many things on their cell phones and on the internet, so much foolishness that they seem to be attracted to. And they're not in the Bible. Okay, so likelihood that they're going to turn out, you know, rough is getting higher and higher. So be careful about beating yourself up if your child doesn't turn out to be a good kid. Adam and Eve were God's children. God made Adam, and when you read Luke and you go through the genealogies, the Bible says that Adam was the son of God. All right, so Adam and Eve, God's children, I guess you've read Genesis chapter 3, right? They didn't turn out so hot. Is that a bad reflection on their father? Is that a bad reflection on God? Well, you say God is perfect. All right, then. And I don't see where God went around beat himself up for the choice that Adam and Eve made to disobey him. Do you? No, he made provision for them with forgiveness, with the shed blood of that lamb and coats of skins to hide their nakedness. But he kicked them out of the garden, put a cherubim there to make sure they could never get back in. Why? Their fault. He cursed them, cursed the ground for them, and punished them. He didn't curse them. He punished them for what they did. Why? Their fault. He did what he could do, and he laid it down for them. He only gave them one negative commandment with one negative consequence, and they did it. And you know what? They died. Now, Manasseh, in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 11, Manasseh, 2 Kings 21:11, was the absolute number one worst king that Judah ever had. You can begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1, all the way down to verse 10, and find out all the wicked things that he did in Judah, but verse 11 just summarizes it for you. Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. He provoked the Lord to anger. He shed innocent blood very much. In verse 16, he was a terrible king, the worst king that Judah ever had. Do you know who his father was? His father was Hezekiah. And according to 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 7, Hezekiah was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. The Bible says in verse 5 of 2 Kings chapter 18, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He's a standout. He is a fabulous king. And yet his son Manasseh ends up being one of the worst kings that Judah ever had. What do you make of that? Sometimes good dads have rotten kids. That's right. And you know something? It's not the dad. It's the kid. I have heard dads say, I think of myself right now, I'm so disappointed in myself, I think of myself as a failure right now, those kind of things. But listen, you know, you've done what you could. And if you did really well, according to what the Bible says good dads were supposed to do, and it turns out that way, how are you going to succeed at accomplishing anything by beating yourself up? Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. We won't read every word that's in this chapter. Obviously, we don't have the time for it. But Ezekiel chapter 18, begin reading with verse 5 and read all the way down to verse 18. In Ezekiel 18, verse 5 to verse 18, you know what you see? You see a good dad in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9. I mean, he is just. He does everything by the law. He is a good man in every respect. He's just, and he does that which is lawful and right. And you know what he has? He has a son, in verse 10, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and doeth the like to any one of these things. He is wicked. Wicked. You know what the Lord does? He says, the wicked son shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. But he didn't hold the dad responsible. And then here's something else. In Ezekiel chapter 18, this bad kid in verses 10 through 13, you know what he has? He has a son. And he is the grandson of the good guy. And you know what happens? He turns out right. Really. He does exactly according to the law. So you know what you're reading in Ezekiel 18? A really good, just, upstanding, law-abiding citizen ends up having a terrible son who is a robber, a shedder of blood, and doesn't keep the law. And that wicked man ends up having a good son. What are you going to make of that? Well, sometimes good dads have rotten kids, and sometimes terrible dads have fabulous kids. What do you say of that? I say this as we conclude this message. It is better not to blame yourself for your children's bad behavior, and it is better not to take all the credit when they turn out right. You better spend a great deal of time praying for them, do the best you can to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and trust God with them, particularly in this day and age in which we live. I pray God will give you good kids. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.